Firming. Firming is an interesting profession, lifestyle. I know we used to joke that along Emerson Trail there, along Bear Lake, all that area, my buddy Freddie used to call that Millionaire's Row because the soil was so deep they could grow anything regardless of the year. The worst thing was if they had a wet fall because there was so much topsoil they'd get stuck all the time because everything goes soft. But down with Shelley's dad farms, the soil is about this deep. And yeah, it's called special areas, one, and then two, it gets thinner and thinner and thinner until it's just about all clay. So soil is very important when it comes to farming. Soil is very important for the harvesting of or producing of any crop. And we're going to look at that this morning. Our sermon's called Being Productive in God's Family. Sounds like an awful... I said to Shelley, I'm not really crazy about that title, but the truth is that's what Jesus is talking about. It's exactly what he's talking about in this passage, and he ends with that. So last time we were in Mark, we saw that it was those who do God's will that he says are truly part of his family. So we asked ourselves the question, whose will consumes us? Is it my own will? Is it someone else's will? Or is it God's will? And now in our next passage, Christ uses this a parable to teach his followers what is required to do God's will in a way that will produce kingdom fruit, a way that will produce a bountiful harvest. And isn't that what we want to do as believers, produce a bountiful harvest for the kingdom? That means people are getting saved. And there's nothing that puts life into a fellowship like new believers. I just wish Jeremy was here, because we'd see that smile on his face that only a new believer has. It shouldn't fade, but for some reason it seems to. So here in Mark, excuse me, strange age to have my voice change. We'll try that again. Here in Mark 4, verses 1 to 20, we'll see three things that will equip us to be productive workers for God. The first is we must discover what God is saying to us. We must listen up. Second, we must come to an understanding of what we've just been listening to, what we've just heard. And then finally, we are to apply that message to our lives. We must put feet to our beliefs, because you don't truly believe it till you put it to the test. So let's read Mark 4, 1 to 20. We all know this parable, so we've heard it 1,000 times. So I'm asking you, do not close your ears thinking you already know what we're going to say or talk about, but have your ears open. He began to teach again by the sea, and such a very large crowd gathered to him that he got into the boat in the sea and sat down, and the whole crowd was by the sea on the land, and he was teaching them many things in parables, and he was saying to them in his teaching, listen to this. Behold, the sower went out to sow, and as he was sowing, some seed fell beside the road, and the birds came and they ate it up. Other seed fell on the rocky ground where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of soil. And after the sun had risen, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. Other seeds fell on the good soil, and as it grew up and increased, they yielded a crop that produced 30, 60, and 100-fold. And he was saying, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. So that's obviously a very important thing we need to do in our lives. Jesus says this twice here. Listen up. Then he says, he who has ears to hear. In other words, whoever's listening and is willing to listen, hear what I'm having to say. As soon as he was alone, him and his followers, along with the 12, began asking him about the parables. I got to stop here for a second. His followers and the 12. Now, if you're into predestination and thinking that only God calls only those who are saved, he's already decided who was going to be, he had followers. Remember back, we listened, he called 12, he called them for a purpose. But he called them out of the believers. They were called to something special. But these followers were believers. It wasn't just the 12. And he was saying to them, "To you has been given the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, get everything in parables. So that while seeking, they may see and not perceive, and while hearing, they may hear and not understand. Otherwise, they might return and be forgiven." And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. These are the ones who are beside the road where the word is sown, and when they hear, immediately Satan comes and takes away the word which has been sown to them. In a similar way, these are the ones in whom the seed was sown on rocky places, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with great joy. And when they have no firm root in them, but are only temporary, then when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones in whom the seed was sown among the thorns. These are the ones who have heard the word, but the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke out that word, and it becomes unfruitful. And those are the ones in whom seed has been sown on good soil, and they hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. Lord, thank you for your word. I pray that you would be with me this morning. I pray that what I say is clear to myself as well as to all those who hear. Father, make up for my weaknesses, make up for our weaknesses as we listen, that your spirit would apply what is here, that our soil would be deep this morning. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, discover. Oh, look what I discovered. Cool. See, when you get looking for things, you discover things. That's how we should come to the Word, by the way. Looking. Looking and listening as we read the Word. Looking to discover. What God is saying to us, Jesus starts his preaching from the boat with these words. Listen to this. Or as King James says, hearken to this. Jesus was trying to get the crowd's focus turned to him. Mark records that there was a great multitude gathered to him. So, to get their attention, Jesus goes out on a boat so as to be surrounded by the crowd. But also out in a boat, his voice would not be drowned out in that crowd. And sometimes we need to, I was thinking what Paul says, come out from among them. Sometimes we need to do that so that they can actually hear our voice. So it's not drowned out in the crowd that we're hanging out with. But when we make a difference, we are a difference. Or I should say the other way around. When we are a difference, we can make a difference. Listen to this, he says. Now, I'm sure many in the crowd came to see the Jesus show that was happening, wanting maybe to see a miracle or even to have healing performed for them or a family member. But instead, they were there and they were going to get an earful. Now, hear this, listen up. Just like those Jesus was talking to and was wanting to teach, we need to listen up as well. We need to pay attention to what God is saying in our lives. We need to pay attention as we read his word. Look to discover. We pray and ask God to talk to us. Maybe shut up so you can hear him. We need to pay attention maybe when I'm preaching or someone else, maybe you're listening to on YouTube. Pay attention. Seek to discover, because that's where discovery begins. Once Jesus gets their attention, he begins to tell them this parable of the sower, which we just read. A picture of himself, but also a picture of what we are to become. We are to be sowers. He starts his parable with, listen to this, and he ends it with, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. So do we have ears to hear this morning? Are we listening to discover what God has to say to us? In verse 10, after telling this parable to the crowd, we find Jesus and his followers and the disciples alone. And then when they ask him about the parable, he tells them that as his followers, it has been given to them to understand the mystery of the kingdom. It's interesting, because then he says to them, like, why are you not, if you can't understand this, how can you understand the rest? Because if I'm giving you it's been given to you the ability to understand, it's because I think even them at that time, they weren't listening. They were watching the show for sure, but I don't think they were really paying that deep of attention to what he was teaching. But he says that it has been given to them to understand the teachings. And the same is true for us today as his followers. Write this down. 1 John 2, verse 27. As for you, the anointing which you receive from him abides in you, and you have no need for anyone to teach you, but as his anointing teaches you about all things, and is true, is not a lie, and just as he taught you, you abide in him. That's important right there. You abide in him. We as believers are able to discern the truth when we abide in Christ. Not when we abide in our religious traditions or maybe the things that denominations have taught over centuries. But in his word brings clarity with his spirit. But to those who refuse that witness, for those who are stuck in their ways and will not listen to what the Spirit is telling them, there is no understanding. And that was a problem with the Jews of Jesus' day. They were stuck in the religion that they had built up, and even all the traditions that later were built up and they worshipped and practiced as holy. They had no understanding because they wouldn't listen up. They thought they knew. Verse 12 is a direct reference to a prophecy given in Isaiah chapter 6 and 9 and following. There, Isaiah, who was God's prosecutor, gave forth God's judgment against Israel for their rebellion. Here, Jesus explained that God's judgment upon Israel was to dull their ears because of their continual rebellion and cold hearts towards God. His call on them. I'm just going to read that again so you can understand. Verse 12. So that while seeing, they may see and not perceive, and while hearing, they may hear and not understand. Otherwise, they may return and be forgiven. God had had enough, and he dulled their ears because they refused to stop their rebellion. They refused to draw close to him. They wanted him to come their way instead of them go to him. Their hearts had grown cold to God's message. They no longer looked or listened to discover what God had in store for them as his chosen people. And how about you and me today? Do we still long to discover what God has in store for us? Do we seek to discover his will for our day, every day? Do I read God's word with my eyes and ears open? Am I willing to learn from Jesus every day? Or like the unbelieving Jews, do I think I already know? Like Israel, am I keeping the law outwardly, honoring him with my lips while my heart is cold and my ears are plugged? Are we looking to know more of God and his ways, or are we happy where we are? Do we come to church eagerly looking for and anticipating what God has to say to us, whether it be from the sermon or the songs or our prayer time or even fellowship with one another? Are we here on a mission of discovery today, or are we just doing church? Because you can get caught into that pretty quickly and not even know it. See, once we begin to discover what God's word is saying to you, then you will need to understand how to apply it. It's one thing to discover those instructions in the bottom of an IKEA box. It's totally another to understand what they're saying. We need to come to an understanding so we can assemble that wonderful coffee table we just bought, or whatever it might be. To understand, according to Gage's Canadian Dictionary and the Greek dictionaries, is to get the meaning of or to comprehend. So to understand this parable of the sower, let's tear it apart like Jesus did for his disciples. So verse 14, the sower goes out to sow. So there's initiation there. And in verse 15, the first soil is of the hearers is with an unresponsive heart. I had that for years, for absolute years. I sat under the gospel from the time I could remember understanding the English language till I was 21. I had an unresponsive heart. They don't want to discover what God has to say to them. They're the ones who go, yeah, 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 blah, blah, blah. I can remember saying that in my head more than once. As they hear about the gospel of Christ. Maybe they don't say it audibly, but that's what's happening in their hearts and their heads. I think I've told you before, I remember being at one youth group, and there was preaching against the evils of rock and roll. And all that ran through, as they said the words rock and roll, all that ran through my head, I'm not going to say it because they'll do it to you this morning, was a Rolling Stones song. And the whole hour, that's all that was going through my head. I didn't hear a word the guy was saying. When God speaks, that is, offers the seed of the gospel to us, or to them, they put no effort to discover the truth, and Satan, their father, comes and brushes it away as foolishness, or something too fantastic to believe. Or they say, hey, that's your truth. My truth is aliens. Or, I had a guy tell me that, by the way. Or my truth is whatever. Ever hear those responses before? Maybe use them at one time. In your life, maybe you still do. It's these ones that scriptures call willfully ignorant. They refuse to accept the truth. As Wikipedia describes that, intentionally keeping themselves unaware of facts that would render them liable or implicated. In other words, we don't want to hear the truth because we don't want to be responsible for what it's saying. We don't want to hold ourselves or it against ourselves. They're ostriches with their heads in the sand. We won't take time to read these, but you can later. Romans 1, verses 18 to 32, and 2 Peter 3, verses 3 to 8, paint an incredible picture of this type of soil. They're the ones who refuse to discover, who won't listen up. However, ignorance, my friends, is no excuse of the law of sin and death. Romans 8:23, for the wages of sin is death. I won't stop there. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the one. Did you hear that? If you've been having your ears plugged, hear that part. The second soil describes people with impulsive hearts. They can see many of this type at Christian stadium events. I remember we used to go to YC and YA all the time with youth groups. They hear the word, they come up front, they pray, they weep, they look as though the word of God has cut them to the very depth of their soul, and for some it had. But then, when the music fades, as Martin Smith wrote, and the crowd disperses, and back to their life of school or work or friends, they can't stand. They don't want to be made fun of or give over lordship of their lives. As Jesus put it in verse 17, then when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately they fall away. There is no perseverance because there is no real root. They may have been moved by a sad story or maybe an emotional testimony, but like the crowd following Jesus, they were maybe caught up in that event, but they never let the Spirit of God come and dwell in their hearts by faith. It was feelings. These are the folks who we run into from time to time. We say, oh, I tried that church stuff, or I tried being a Christian, or I tried God, but it wasn't for me. There was no depth in their faith. It only had value as long as it made them feel good. These were the same as the people who shouted, Hosanna, when Christ rode into Jerusalem, but also cried, crucify him, a few days later. The third hearers are cluttered and preoccupied hearts. They sometimes attend church, call themselves Christians, and may even have a noticeable life-changing experience, which they accredit to God. But I've had lots of Mormons tell me of those kind of things, and Jehovah Witnesses as well. Yet there was no harvest for the kingdom. Church, Bible study, if they attend, and even church duties are merely obligations, not the sacrifice of a heart set on serving Christ, their Lord. Like many of the Jews of Christ's day, these are the ones the prophet Amos tells us about in Amos 8, verses 5a. They say things like, when will the new moon festival be over, that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath, that we may offer wheat for sale? They are doing their religious duty all the while thinking of what else they could be doing. They wanted to make money, but they couldn't make money if they weren't working on the Sabbath. Business dealings, weekend plans, the want for the things of this world all take priority in those lives. Everything but Christ is on the throne of their hearts. All this competes for their ear. So when Christ yells, "Listen to this," he can't be heard over the roar of the crowd that's in their heart. And the seed that was planted is not fertilized and does not grow. Oh, and it's, by the way, usually someone else's fault, not theirs. Maybe it's the church's fault, but not theirs. It's always someone else to blame because they're not growing. The fourth soil, we see is fertile soil. This is a picture of a responsive heart. This heart bears kingdom fruit from kingdom seed. It is these ones that Jesus described earlier as his brother, sister, and mother. That's back in chapter 3, verse 35. In these ones, God has had dramatic effect. Their lives are focused on God's kingdom and its advancement. Their job is a place to be used by God for his kingdom. It's not just for the money. Grace Dedman tells of a fellow who told him that he began to realize that since Jesus was Lord of his life, he was not only Lord at church and in his Christian duties and relationships, but he was Lord of his life at his job and could work through him at his assigned tasks just as freely and abundantly as he did in any other church-related matter. See, Jesus ain't a spoke in the wheel of our life. He's the wheel. The hearers with the responsive heart are God's servers, not self-servers. And so God can use them to produce a kingdom harvest. These ones serve for the joy of it and not for the applause. Now, please, don't get me wrong. I am not talking about perfect people. You know, the Bible tells us that David was a man after God's own heart, but David was not perfect. You know, Abraham believed and it was credited to him as righteousness, but Abraham was not perfect. We all have room to grow. We are being made into the likeness of Christ. I'm talking about kingdom-minded people who are desiring to and allowing themselves to be made into the image of Christ as they serve with him. As Paul wrote in Romans 8:29, "For those he foreknew, he predestined to become conformed into the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren and sistren." That's sistren? Sisters. That's all of us who believe. He wants to make us into the image of his Son. But that takes ears that hear. Now, in this parable, there are a couple of things we can discover here that if we were listening, they should encourage us to become harvesters, producers of kingdom crop. If you understand what Christ is saying about our responses to his word, then what needs to be the application in your life and in my life? Well, the first thing is, like a farmer, we need to check the soil. What kind of soil does my heart have? Is it hard? Is it unresponsive? Have I plugged my ears to God's call? If so, while you're here this morning, may I encourage you to do as Jesus said in that boat that day. Listen to this. You are not here by chance. God is not calling you, for no good reason. He does not need you for his kingdom. Let me make that clear. God does not need you for his kingdom. You need him. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, if you have never confessed that you are a sinner and asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins and to bring you into his family, then today is your day for salvation. Don't put it off. Repent of your sins, that is, turn from them. Ask Christ to save you and with his Holy Spirit help begin to follow Christ as your Lord. He wants you to join him in his work, so that you can experience the joy of the kingdom harvest. Second, If you have heard the word and at first thought, hey, this is great, eternal life, everything's going to be good, you know, like the country song played backwards, I get my truck back, my wife back, the trailer back, the dog back. That's not the case. Look deeper than that. Salvation is a free gift, but it is a life-changing decision, because you've got to give your life over to Christ. That's salvation, because he gives you life. To be a Christian is to be against the prince of this world, Satan. Count the cost before you say you believe. Jesus addressed this in Luke. Now, I don't want to scare anybody away, but in Luke 14, 28 to 30, for which one of you, when he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if he is able to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who observe it begin to ridicule him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. But let me remind you of something, and may you be encouraged by it. Jesus said in John 14, 16 to 17, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever, and that is the Spirit of truth. Understand this. When you do give your life over, you will never walk alone. You will never be able to do spiritual things without the help of the Spirit. You will never ask to do kingdom work without the Spirit enabling you. You're not called to build that tower, so to speak, on your own. You do kingdom work. No one can without God's Spirit, but you are called to be engaged in that work, because he is not just your Savior, he is your Lord and Savior. Third, if you are a believer, but Christ has been pushed from the throne of your heart by competing desires, if you have a preoccupied heart, then let me encourage you to tune your ears once again to God's Spirit and discover and understand what God's will is for you going forward. Jesus said in John 8, 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Ask God to show you what weeds you need to pull out so as to follow him fully. What influences or influence is choking out your growth? Maybe it's some of your Facebook compadres and some of the things they're saying. Are they stealing your joy? See, we need to lead people, not be led by people. We need to set the social agenda, not be led by the social agenda in our lives. And fourth, those who make their master priority will do what their master asks. And just as it takes time for a plant to grow, it takes time spent with your Lord and Master for you to grow. He doesn't hit us with a magic wand and everything's perfect. Just like it took time for you to learn to walk, it takes time for you with your Savior to learn to walk spiritually as well, too. And if you put it off for years, grab his hand today and start walking with him. Those who listen up to understand what God is saying to them, and then with the Spirit's help apply what they have learned, will produce fruit. That's what Jesus said, verse 20 of our passage. And those are the ones on whom seed was sown in good soil, and they hear the word, spending time with Jesus, and accept it, and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold. They produce a yield. And this happens when we take the seed of faith that is growing in our hearts with the Spirit's help and offer it to those around us. To produce a harvest, we are to join Christ in his sowing ministry. Like him, we sow seed. We don't choose soil. We don't know what the heart of everybody we're talking to is. So I'm like, most men I ever felt that walked around with their chest out and their shoulders like this and were gruff and rough, they did that to protect a very soft heart. It's like we used to say when I was in direct sales, everybody who puts a sign up on the door, no salesman allowed, they were a pushover. That's why they had to sign up there. Let's join Christ in his sowing ministry. Like him, we sow seed, we don't choose soil. We spread that gospel seed wherever we are and leave the rest to Christ. Let's pray. Father, you know each man's heart, each woman and child's heart here today. And I pray that their heart is listening to you, that they will check the condition of their soil. If they don't know you today, I pray they would before the sun goes down. I pray that your Spirit would cut them to the chase and would draw them into faith, knowing that they can trust you, Lord, and that they would join them, you in your kingdom work. Father, be with each one of us. Encourage us today, Lord, while it is today, and that we might see a harvest in this fellowship. We thank you for Jeremy, as you know. You use people here who know you, who call upon you, and now he does. And we just want to praise you and thank you. And we ask for a hundredfold, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.